Bonjour, my dear ladies. Do you remember where we started 6 weeks ago? Where you were invited in our very first lesson to explore the vision of your ideal life in your ideal home? And where during that ideal day you were giving guests a guided house tour of your ideal home? Well, for our very last lesson, I invite you to do the same with our work. Let's do full circle. Let's do a guided house tour, so to speak, of all the lessons and everything we explored together, of all the possible changes in your home that would lead to all the possible changes in your life. Shall we get started? So we started the first week with connection. Connection to yourself, connection to your dreams, to your reality, to your action, to your vision. We looked at how connection to something or someone is important for inspired action. And we explored how you felt in the vision of your ideal day, your ideal life, your ideal home. In lesson two, we looked at how to connect your vision to your current reality. So how to anchor yourself as the woman you want to be and to act from that place. We had an exercise how to assess your current rooms, the room in your current home, and where they stand regarding to your vision. We explored what's already working. And you were invited to count your blessings, which is always a good idea to do, and how to look at your home with love. Lesson three, finally, connection to your actions. We finally got into action. You learned how to look at one room, what was working already, what were the beautiful moments, the moments you cherished in that room. And we had an exercise where you learned how to take that room 1 point higher on the scale of 1 to 10. You were taking action in the right spirit and in the right mindset. That was our first week of Change Your Home, Change Your Life. Week two saw us stepping into clarity, and we started by clarify your belongings. How to create clarity in your home and in your life, how to deal with clutter, why clutter is inelegant, how to clear it, how to gain clarity about your belongings, about what you really want, how to create your ideal life. You were introduced into two major methods or approaches of clutter clearing, the Fly Lady method and the KonMari method. And you were understanding the perspective and the why behind things. And finally, of course, we had an exercise on how to clear clutter. In lesson two, we were coming to clarity through organization. You learned how to create clarity through organization. We delved into what organization really means. I told you about the kindergarten model with a sort of container system and how to apply that kindergarten model to your home. And of course, we had a practical exercise to get you starting organization. Lesson three on clarity looked at your decisions, how you could optimize your decision making. I told you about the concept of decision fatigue and how to improve your home to support your decision making. You could streamline your place. You could practicing owning your decision with the help of your home. And of course, we had practical exercises to make that happen. And how it's okay to make exercises that are not right 100% of the time. And finally, we looked at how to overcome the fear of decision making. That was it for module 2, clarity. Module 3, finally, was the cornerstone of confidence. How to start your day with confidence. So how can your home help you to grow in confidence? How confidence can be learned and relearned, practiced, regrown. And finally, we had that very fun exercise with your wardrobe and your outfit to help you start every day with confidence. In lesson 2 of the confidence module, we talked about trust. How your home can help you to trust yourself more. We had 2 strategies for that, eliminating mistrust and creating proof that you can trust yourself. And the tool we used for that was everything unfinished you have in your home that shows that you cannot really trust yourself because you didn't finish it, you didn't keep the promise you made to yourself. And of course, we then went into the practical work to eliminate one thing that is unfinished and that reminds you that you don't trust yourself, and to finish one thing to create proof that you can trust yourself. Lesson 3 was about savviness. How to be confident when you don't know how to do something, and the difference between not knowing something and helplessness. How to change your narrative of helplessness. And we started by it by doing something you don't know and how to make it doable. So I invited you to revisit something in your life that you currently don't do because you don't know how to do it. And an exercise in your home that helped you overcome that narrative because you were invited to do it even if it felt a bit scary or you didn't know how to do it. That was it for module 3, half time already. In module 4, finally, we stepped into commitment. And the first component of commitment was focus. So we started by exploring commitment from different angles, how your home can help you to stay committed. We looked at focus through the lens of flow and grow. Then we came to your home, how to create a focal point in your home, how that can help you. We also mentioned the Pareto principle, also known as the 80-20 rule. We talked about the importance to land properly in order to be able to take a proper takeoff. And finally, we looked at what are the focal points in your home. In lesson number one, we were very focused. In lesson number 2, it was all about ease and lightness. How to add ease and lightness into the package of commitment so that we avoid that trap of white-knuckling our way through where we want to go. How you can't really fly without feeling held and how your home can help you do that. We had an exercise on how to anchor yourself in each room and what you want to commit to with the help of that room. And finally, how to be committed to something with ease and lightness. The final lesson of module 4 was all about inspiration. How inspiration is linked to commitment. Which feelings spark inspiration, or which kind of inspiration sparks feelings for you? You were to write a list of things that inspire you. What you could do better if you were even more inspired. We had an exercise on pulling out all the good stuff in your home, the things you normally don't use, and start to use them regularly. The most yummy food or drink, the most luscious soap or towels or bed sheets or anything that spells luxury and beauty and inspiration. So we ended module 4 on a high note. In module 5, we started to shift gears, so to speak, because we were looking at how you can make things consistent beyond the scope of this course. So lesson number 1 was all about habits. We talked about the need to do things consistently and repeatedly in life, how habits can really thrive when they are in the right environment. So how your home can become a habitat for your habits. We looked at how to identify habits that lead from the current state of affairs to the ideal life, the ideal state of affairs. Once again, we looked at our scale from 1 to 10 to grade your habits. And then we looked at your home through the eyes, through the lens of each habit. I introduced you to the analogy of an architect of a zoo, with each habit being a specific species in the zoo, which will need a different environment to thrive. And at the end, we focused on one habit that has some return on investment on your way to your ideal life. Lesson number 2, where we looked at how to make it easy for your habit to become one or to stay in habit. And the image we already talked about in lesson 1, that of a zoo, became more explored as we looked at your habit like a lion in the zoo. And what does a lion need to make something happen? And what does your habit need to become one? So we explored the concept of ease, of something being obvious, of attractiveness, and of satisfaction. In lesson 3, finally, we looked at rituals. In that lesson, we studied the qualities of your habit and how the very quality of your habit can elevate your environment. So we looked at the concept of rituals, and I invited you to identify the rituals you cherish and where in your home do they dwell. We looked at, does your home need an upgrade to match the importance and the beauty of a ritual that you hold dear? And finally, you were invited to get practical and to align your home to your most beloved rituals. And with that, we were in our final week. We are now. We started the week with continuity and we explored a very important event, I'd like to say, which is sure to arrive, that are setbacks. We looked at the opportunities to screw up, what to do when you experience a setback, I showed you the non-functionality of black and white thinking that happens so often when we fail to live up to our very high expectations. And finally, we talked about the in-between state, between things you need to or want to let go and things that you want to arrive in your life, and that in-between state and how to get comfortable with it, because it's something that is happening basically all the time. I suggested 3 strategies for what to do when you experience a setback. The first one was push the reset button. The second one was to elevate your problem, meaning to make your home really comfortable and welcoming for what you want to create rather than focusing on what you don't want any longer. And the third strategy was to give the room where you experience setbacks regularly a really thorough makeover. Lesson two, and we talked about progress. Well, arguably, we've been talking about progress for every single lesson in this course. But in this lesson, we explored one very important aspect, that is progress and others. Progress is the most effective way of get anyone going. So we started with the reminder that if something works, do more of it. And then we looked at how others might react to your progress. I introduced you to the image of a piece in a puzzle that when it changes shape, all the other pieces around are affected, and how people might not necessarily like it. We looked at some of the mechanisms of resistance you might encounter and how that very often ends up creating defensiveness or guilt with the person who is evolving, who is changing, and how your home can help you handle other people's reactions. Our final exercise was a very simple and very efficient one, that is to look at everything in your home that is not coming from you, meaning it's a gift or an heirloom, and to keep only those that you really, truly love and which move you forwards on your way to your ideal life. Because, and this is what we ended this lesson with, it's not because someone gives something to you that you have to keep it. So this was our house tour, where we end now at lesson three in module six. And I want to say a very, very, very heartfelt thank you for having been part of the journey, for your investment, for your courage, for your sharing, for your questions, for being a part of the Elegant Alchemy community, for investing in yourself to step into the next level and for trusting me and allowing me to be part of that. I'm certainly learning and growing every day thanks to this work and thanks to working with you, and I really hope that you do too. You might have noticed during the last 6 weeks that some rooms in your home stood out more than others, that some areas in your life demanded for more care, reflection, or investment. Maybe you feel you need more clarity, then go back to module two. Or at one point you feel you really want to oomph your confidence. Module three is the place to go. So the one module I invite you to go back regularly is module one, your vision. That is your benchmark. And from there, you can always see, what do I want next? What do I need next? Au revoir, my dear, dear ladies. Till we see again, this is not the end. It's just the beginning.